You're listening to Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Jeff Hoyt. This is the first Thursday morning scramble, and we welcome to the radio from his home where he is sheltering in place, Pete Droege.
Hello.
How you doing, Pete?
I'm good. I was an early adopter of the sheltering in place.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of sheltered in place generally with the home studio and everything. You have a lot to do right there at home anyhow.
I do, and for the last, I'm in the middle of year 5 of chronic fatigue, so, you know, I've been pretty much spending anywhere from 75 to probably 95% of my time sheltering in place for the last good while, so.
Could you explain chronic fatigue to us? That's an actual condition.
Well, no, I can't, really.
Yeah.
My particular situation is, it would take up all of our time to get into the details of it.
So. Okay. But obviously this came along, and like everyone else on the island, you and Elaine both have had your businesses impacted by this strange turn of events. What were the ways that that this kind of landed on you two?
Well, you know, it actually hasn't been as much of an impact on us as I think most everyone else. You know, I was on sabbatical anyway, so I wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine is still working on mosaics right now. The difference is that I decided to lift the sabbatical and kind of get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the big shift for me. So I think as a lot of the world was kind of, you know, slowing down and taking their foot off the gas and kind of going, whoa, what do I do? You know, if I'm not out and about and at work, I was sort of doing the exact opposite. I had been at home sheltering in place and just taking it really, really mellow.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially in sort of semi-meditation retreat mode a lot of the time.
So so it was as a result of COVID-19 that you made the conscious decision to get busy again.
Exactly, yeah. So it, you know, it unfolded kind of like this. So at first, you know, it started off as a very modest thing. I kind of thought, okay, I've got some fans out there. I haven't put out music in 6 years, almost to the day, actually, the single officially was released to streaming services and everything yesterday. So that was like 6 years and 6 days since our last release.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of thought, okay, so there's some fans out there who, you know, would be eager to hear new music. And I thought, why don't I use that as an opportunity to raise some money for some charities? And the first that came to mind was Vashon Youth and Family Services. And I gave them a call and, it, you know, talked to them about what they were doing, and it felt like a great fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what motivated the thing to get started. So I ended up first thinking about covers. I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool to maybe do like a Tom Petty song and
mm-hmm.
get some other people to kind of come on to the track and play on it, get some guests and stuff like that. And then it dawned on us that we had this song called Skeleton Crew that we had written a while back that the lyrics really spoke to this moment. And so it was like, duh, here's the song. And as luck would have it,
wow.
I had only demoed 3 of the new songs. We've got like a double album worth of material written right now
mm-hmm.
for, you know, what will become ultimately the next record.
Well, Skeleton Crew was written prior to all this.
It was, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I had only demoed 3 of the songs of the, you know, batch that we'd written.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of them. So I had a recording of it, and I had been starting to demo, and I punted on it just because the fatigue just, you know, making records and fatigue don't pair well. So I had actually done kind of a late night, you know, what was going to be a demo of it. And secretly in the back of my mind, for this record, I'm kind of hoping that my demos end up being the record.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, so many times, and I know a lot of other musicians will relate to this, you know, you get demo-itis. You know, you go in to do your record and you go, it doesn't have the mojo that the demo had. So the idea was that I would kind of dash off these, you know, kind of loose and rough-hewn acoustic versions of the song, no click track or anything like that, no futzing around, just kind of capture a moment. And I would, you know, typically do a few passes of it and then kind of cut it together. And so I had already tracked the song, so that was also a bonus, too. So I cut it together, and then we, you know, got it mixed and mastered. And so at that point, the next phase of it was, so first it was very simple, you know, put out a song and raise some money for Vashon Youth and Family Services. Then it dawned on me as I was seeing a lot of my friends and, you know, fellow music types, and that would be, you know, not only the players, but also the engineers and graphic designers and filmmakers and everybody. You know, everybody had just the rug jerked out from underneath them. And so I thought, how about if we use this as an opportunity to create work for folks in the creative professional world? And so then the idea became, okay, we've got this bare bones, I call it a demo record. Let's make multiple versions of the record, and in doing so, create some work for musicians and mix engineers and mastering engineers and stuff. So that kind of became the second thing. And then that theory, I wanted to be kind of an incubator for something that I've been thinking about a lot during my chronic fatigue run. And that is sort of a new model of a record label that is not necessarily, you know, where the first thing that you ask is like, is this going to make money? But more think of it as like a donor-driven, sort of a donor-slash-investor model. So I'm not great at the elevator pitch for this.
You're doing fine so far.
Yeah, so the future thing, there's a lot to it. And maybe I'll kind of actually back, I'll sort of go fast forward to like the big dream of where this little, the incubator part of it, that what I was hoping to sort of build this up to one day.
And this is what you're calling the Skeleton Crew Project.
Yeah, the Skeleton Crew Project is sort of three things. One, let's raise, so the first thing that we're trying to do is just raise money for Vashon Youth and Family Services. So what we're doing right now is we're looking for matching grants so that, you know, the single's up on Bandcamp with all the proceeds going to Vashon Youth and Services, but we realize that, you know, there's only so much money that we're going to raise selling downloads. And so what we wanted, the next phase of that is to, you know, give people the opportunity to donate directly, just go straight to Youth and Family Services. That way, if they're doing a larger amount of money, they can get the tax write-off and all of that. And, you know, Bandcamp doesn't take its percentage off the top. And so we're looking for Islanders or anyone really to pony up some matching grants so that once we do the push for that, you know, everybody's dollars will be matched. So that's kind of phase one.
Okay.
Fairly simple. Phase two, which actually I'm having to punt on. I just can't do it with my fatigue. I had been pushing way too hard and came to the conclusion a couple days ago that I just need to pretty much stop. So my goal now is just to plant the idea out there and hope that other people run with it. So phase two is like, you know, somebody who has resources, you know, like a high net worth individual, as they say, would pony up a budget for, you know, let's say a singer-songwriter. Let's use like Ian Moore as an example. You know, let's say there's a big Ian Moore fan. I'm imagining there's got to be at least one Texas oil billionaire out there that loves Ian Moore and thinks the world's a better place with his music in it. And that person, you know, and it's not means testing as far as this is concerned. It's not like we're looking for the artist or the songwriter who's the core of it. You know, maybe they're living hand to mouth and they need the money, or maybe they're more concerned that their nest egg has shrunk and that they only have enough money to live to be 150 rather than enough money to live to be 200 or whatever.
Yeah, right.
That's not the point. The point is that, you know, if somebody were to say, wouldn't it be fantastic if Ian had the budget right now to do some work, whether it's a single or an EP, the trickle down of that would be that Ian would be, you know, shipping from his home studio to a drummer's home studio. Now a drummer's getting work, and then it goes over to a bass player, and the bass player gets work. And so on down the line, you know, mix engineer, mastering engineer, graphic designer to do the art. You know, if the budget is sizable enough, you know, maybe a filmmaker is then making the video. You know, if somebody had enough resources to really, really give it everything it needs, maybe there's a budget there for a social media manager to push the song out into the world. And that's, you know, kind of leads a little bit to the idea behind the label vision that I have is to have budgets in place for specifically my little label dream is like for singer-songwriter types. And the idea being, you know, what I've seen is people really having to spend a lot of time just trying to sort of push around those ones and zeros online and try to get people to even notice that they have music. And then if they do, it goes out to a streaming service and it's this you know, this trickle of fractions of pennies. And so my ultimate dream now, so you get an idea of sort of what I was hoping this phase would be.
Right.
The long-term goal, Elaine and I have fantasized for years about wanting to have songwriting fellowships on Vashon.
Ah.
And so the baby steps there would be kind of incubate this donor-driven label theory. And again, for now, it would be with its priorities are to, you know, raise money for charity and put creatives to work. But in the future, I would see that as being sort of a donor-investor thing where, you know, the donor would put up their money and they're not necessarily needing to get a return on their investment. They're okay if they lose their money on it and they feel good about putting great music out in the world and putting folks to work. And I'm blathering. Let me
no, this is good.
My thoughts. So, yeah, the long-term dream would be that that label would also have some other entity that I'm not sure what it would be called, but it would be like it would begin with a concert series, which I think would be easy enough to kind of get going. And that concert series would be very focused on songwriters and songwriting, so there would be workshops involved in that. And then maybe the next step would be a festival, like a little music festival on Vashon. And then the dream would be to be able to offer songwriting fellowships so that, you know, you could basically just say to a songwriter, you know, come to Vashon, have a place to stay, don't worry about money for whatever that period of time is. I would like it to be, you know, pretty lengthy, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And then plug into the community here and then, you know, make a record and put that out. And also have the resources to sort of market that record and bring it to the world. So that's the big pie in the sky dream. And I also want to kind of mention that where the song Skeleton Crew began was actually on a meditation retreat. I think it was right after the last time we talked. When we talked about my ambient track, I Am Awake.
Yeah, right.
I think I was just about to go to Cannon Beach for a meditation retreat.
Yeah, you were leaving a couple of days.
Yeah, so on that trip, I did two, and I'm pretty sure the one right before I talked to you was the one where this song came about. And, you know, anybody who's a hardcore meditation retreat person is going to go, you can't write songs on a meditation retreat. Well, we'll call it a semi-retreat. So on that retreat, I decided that at the end of the day, when I kind of normally do my guitar practice stuff, that I would just, as Tom Petty had put it in his very last interview, just put the worm in the water, just see if I get any bites. And so on that trip, staying at a friend's house on the Oregon coast, I just had an unprecedented run of song ideas. I call them seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Came home with 22 seeds. Two of them were solid clunkers, and the rest of them were good.
Yeah.
And like nine of them, Elaine and I listened to and rated as an A+. So it was this really amazing sort of shift for me. And I realized that it was really having this space and being away from all the sort of, you know, life administration tasks and the computer and all of that. So that, you know, so this song really was born in that space, and that was a gift that a friend of mine gave me to allow me to stay at his vacation.
So the idea then with Skeleton Crew Project is to create that space here on Vashon for other singer-songwriters to come in and take that time to get inside and find what's there.
Ultimately, that's the dream. That's what we would love to be able to provide for folks. So that's, you know, that's it. And then it's a really interesting time now. There's so much going on, and part of the reason for kind of, you know, having the multiple versions, so the Skeleton Crew Project in the short and medium term, you know, was intended to try to, you know, raise money for charity and create work for creative professionals and just sort of be the baby steps moving towards this entity that I envision in the future that is a killer sort of, you know, like a gatekeeper label. The long-term idea for the label is not so much like, oh, let's build a platform to compete with the other crowdsourcing platforms that I think that everybody should, you know, get a huge pile of money to be able to go sit on Vashon Island for 6 months and write their masterpiece. This is the long-term label is intended to kind of be sort of how I think about like Warner Brothers records in the 70s. It's like they had Randy Newman. Randy Newman didn't sell any records. They kept making records because the world is better with Randy Newman records in it.
Right.
And there were folks there where the music was the top priority, and the business hadn't gotten to the point where the bean counters could overrule the music lovers. And so I think that's partly what's lacking in the music business is infrastructure and you know, essentially labels that have the resources to give a songwriter or an artist a fighting chance of A, making their best work, and B, getting that work out in the world, which is just such a challenge because of all the noise.
Yeah.
So speaking of the noise, so that brings me back to why I had the idea for the multiple versions of the song. Mm-hmm. One, because the version was so stripped down that I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool to call up, you know, different friends and collaborators and have multiple versions of the song, partly because I thought it would be interesting for, you know, for diehard music fans to kind of hear the way that a song can get stretched and pulled in different directions. And also, like I said before, to sort of, you know, create some work for those folks. But also just to kind of cut through the noise. It's like if I, you know, right now the Skeleton Crew project is me, Elaine, and Maggie McClure is our project manager, and then we have a rubber hand puppet named Monk that's kind of helping me with my social media.
I've seen Monk, yes.
Yeah. You know, so that's it. That's the team for now, and it's like there's only so much we can do, and it's like the maze of how to crack the code on actually getting a post seen on social media. Like, I've been on a social media fast for a good while now.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you know, I don't know. I guess there's experts out there that know what you have to do in order to get your post seen. So we're experimenting with that now. We just launched the episode 000, which is a teaser of my podcast that I had in development a couple of years ago. Actually, a few years ago.
Pete Droege is Obsessed.
That's it.
Yeah.
So just put that up on YouTube yesterday to sort of explain phase one. And then there's a little teaser of my first interview that I recorded, I think, 3 years ago with Chris Ballew.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like the reality is if you just throw something up on Facebook, if you don't boost the post, I guess, like, people don't really see it. Like, you kind of have to throw money at it in order for it to be seen. So we're kind of, there's a learning curve there that we're trying to work through. But all that to say that it's just a challenge to cut through the noise. And I think when I started this thing, I'm on a social media fast. I'm mostly on a news fast. So I kind of got started on this, and I used, it was basically, you know, I've been a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an alcoholic. I've been a lot of things. And when this happened, I think as the anxiety and the fear from the COVID-19 arose in me, I just reached for my latest drug of choice, which was workaholicism.
Yeah.
And I went on a complete bender. It was like I was just so inspired by all this and had, and knew that it was going to be so challenging to cut through the noise. And so I thought, well, it's got to be something more than 51-year-old singer-songwriter who had a minor hit in the 90s just released the song on Bandcamp and the money's going to a local charity. I just thought, like, that's not going to move the needle and that's not going to really, you know, capture anyone's imagination. So that's where the ideas of the Skeleton Crew project were sort of born.
So you're in the process now of learning how to roll it out there to where it really has an impact.
Well, yeah, the idea was that if I could get, my group of collaborators and friends, and some of which, you know, all of which are world class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the musicians I work with and stuff, they're just completely world class, and you know, many of them have followings of their own, just as players. You know, so I thought that would be kind of a cool thing.
Well, if you ever need a spoken word component,
great.
I'm your guy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then I thought, you know, some of those folks, you know, maybe if there's one or two of those that are, you know, pretty famous, that mm-hmm. that could sort of put some wind in the sails of it as well. And I just like the idea of it being sort of keeping it alive. So it's not just like, okay, on March 31st, we, you know, put it up on streaming. On March 27th, it was on Bandcamp. And then it just sort of, you know, you have an excuse to kind of keep coming back and saying, hey, here it is again, now with fill in the blank, super cool musician playing slide guitar. And here it is now with super cool band you might remember as the rhythm section. And here it is again as this. But so that was sort of the fantasy with that. And then the other part that I had brewing was, wanting just to share the song with everybody and sort of invite the entire world to cover it. And the beauty of the song is it's just, you know, what they call cowboy chords or campfire chords. It's G, C, D, and E minor. Like, these are the first four chords that most people learn. And so I had a, you know, vision of, you know, just anyone learning the song. And that's one of the things I'm going to do soon is just do a little video where I just sort of show you a couple of little tricks. If there's a couple of little moves in it. Show people how to play it and post the lyrics. And then, you know, just invite people to sing the song and share it that way. And then, you know, maybe it's delusions of grandeur or whatever, but the fantasy would be that somebody huge would then catch on to the song and actually be able to make a much more of an impact than I could with the song. So that was the other epiphany, was like, you know, I don't necessarily want to be, you know, out there as a recording artist, and, you know, I'm not looking to fill the job position of internet celebrity. You know, I didn't want it to be about me as much as just the song itself and about the ideas in the project. That's what I wanted to spread, was the ideas of the project.
Mm-hmm.
That whole sort of donor-driven, let's create work for creative professionals and raise some money for charity at the same time.
Well, we're about to hear the song, and what's been so amazing to me, and I hear you about the having it all just sort of catch up to you, and you have to decide, no, I need to stop now.
I really do. It was clear to Ryan and I a couple days ago.
I think a lot of us have hit that wall. When this first started happening and I started seeing all the creativity that was coming out in social media, and I thought, God, I got to figure out a way to join the party, you know, contribute to this, because it was seriously inspiring. And I started getting ideas and realizing that the time and energy it was going to take to roll those things out was time and energy I didn't really have, because I'm still kind of invested in just being with this moment.
Yeah.
And just kind of letting it wash over me and over my hands, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what is kind of amazing about it all is that so many different institutions, the music business being just one of them, will come out of this utterly changed forever.
That's my hope.
Yeah. And it's got to be for the better.
That's my hope. Because those are the seeds that I want to plant. So
yeah.
with the podcast is the vehicle for me to continue to blather like I've been attempting to do to you to get these ideas across. And so the opening of each podcast, I'm going to try to keep those to, you know, fairly brief, like, you know, under 5 minutes or so, would be to sort of try to, as concisely as I can, articulate these different ideas that I have.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of time with the fatigue to ponder, you know, what I wanted my career to look like on the other side of my fatigue. So that's my hope, is to sort of use the podcast and the Skeleton Crew project as, you know, at this point I can't really execute on the idea of saying, you know, we did it in a small way with the song you're about to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that little track put a few people to work and put some money in the pockets of some, you know, really amazing creative professionals. And I had hoped to keep doing that with multiple versions of the song, but I just have to stop. And so now what I'm going to do instead is try to put the idea out there, just try to, and start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And through the podcast, if I can continue to produce it, we're going to see. I'm at least going to hope to do, I'm not committing to do it yet, but I'm going to hope to do at least 3 or 4 episodes of it so that I can talk about these ideas and get that conversation going.
Where can you point us?
I'm just going to post it on YouTube. So if you just find me on YouTube, which I don't know if that's as easy. Like, when, you know, again, all the maze of all this stuff, like when Maggie first tried to find my channel on YouTube, like she put in Pete Droege into YouTube and like my channel didn't even come up. So again, that's that maze of social media and stuff. But I think if you put Pete Droege is Obsessed into the YouTube search, the teaser is up there and you'll find that. And then if you subscribe, then I think that will tell you when new things come. And I'll be posting those. We'll have those posted on Facebook, and I think my blog, just petedroege.com/blog, anytime there's something new, I'll put that up there as well.
Okay. But, well, let's keep talking about this because I'm going to keep doing shows probably from home starting after today, and I want to see how this thing goes. So
yeah, and I want it to be a conversation. So I think I'm actually going to lift my social media fast. Like once I kind of feel like I've done a reasonably decent job of getting the ideas across, you know, via the podcast, which, you know, that way I can blather like we did, and then I can cut it down and go, okay, I just talked for 9 minutes. Okay, let's find 4 minutes where it's concise and clear and throw those in the podcast and then share those with people. And then I'm thinking I'll lift my social media fast and, you know, get a conversation going on there, you know, because, you know, people do that. There's, you know, threads where people comment and blah, blah, blah. So try to get other folks in the music business to chime in. And I would love to just, you know, for this idea to ripple out and for people to try it, you know, like the example I used earlier. It's like, you know, it's got to be an Ian Moore fan that's just, you know, got the resources to be able to say, hey, go do it.
Yeah.
Put folks to work. And then, yeah, so.
Pete Droege, singer, songwriter, producer right here on Vashon Island. And thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go out with your song.
Great.
This is You and Elaine.
Yep.
From the comfort of your home studio.
It's everywhere now. It's actually up on all the streaming services, and 100% of the proceeds from Bandcamp go to Youth and Family Services.
So. Excellent. Well, thank you, Pete, for taking the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, you bet. 10:26 here on the Morning Scramble. Here comes Pete Droege and Elaine Summers from over there on Maury Island, Puzzle Tree Studios, your skeleton crew on KVSH.
In the morning when you wake me, and the sky is silver gray, in my mind appears a whisper of a prayer, saying everything will be okay. We'll get through this thing together. You lean on me and I'll lean on you. Know that nothing lasts forever and ever. It's just something that we're gonna get through. Nobody else coming to the rescue. Something that we're gonna get through together. Ooh, working on skeleton crew. Crew. Ooh,
Skeleton Crew, Pete Droege, Elaine Summers on KVSH. All proceeds from that song on Bandcamp go to Vashon Youth and Family Services. Yesterday, Pete pointed me to the podcast sample. Pete Droege is obsessed. You can find that on YouTube. And if you play it all the way to the end, and I don't know if this happens every time, but it rolled on into Pete and Elaine's appearance on the Letterman show back in 95, playing Beautiful Girl, which I had not seen. And it just sort of just came up and I went, whoa. And the first thing I noticed, they were such babies 25 years ago, of course. But it was very cool to see that particular clip. So go to YouTube and check it all out. And thanks again to Pete for taking the time to tell us all about the Skeleton Crew project. It sounds so very cool.